I did have one thing in the box. Had nothing to do with gum. It was a verse. It was another verse in reference to the chariots and the horses. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. That was a good verse. Someone put that in the box. I thought I'd share that with you. How'd you do on your quiz? Everybody do okay on your quiz? Okay. We're not going to announce scores. You know, I had a teacher that worked with, I guess you'd call him a teacher. That's what his title was. But some teachers aren't teachers whatsoever. And he retired this last year, and we were all fairly thankful for that. And it was one of those bad situations sometimes we have in education. He would scream at the kids, and he was right next door, and I could always hear him. And one day, he gave a quiz, and then he said, okay, take the quizzes and hand them to the person that you like the least. So they'd be honest on checking, you know, and I'm like, are you serious? You know, and I was wondering if they all just handed them up to him, you know, or something. Well, I don't want to take a lot of time to go over all these. I know some of them you're maybe really curious about, but there is one section that I want you to look at, and I was pretty pleased. The kids didn't do that great either on them. And in fact, they started making a really kind of a fun game, and I wish I would have thought about it. They just started making up their own, you know, different phrases, really funny and very creative, and I should have probably just read those off of the list. But there's a section down on the right side. The first one, it starts with P-S-O-S. Anybody see that one all the way down there? And then those next five. And I was actually pretty pleased when I went around to the students and I was looking and see which ones they filled out. That section was blank. Those five were actually blank on almost everybody's. They had no idea what they were. Those all have to do with parents. I don't know how many of you got any of those. PSOS, anybody know what that one is? Parents standing over shoulder. KPC is keep parents clueless. CD9 is just code 9. You might have figured out code 9, but that code 9 is, you know, always what's code 9 mean? Code 9 is just saying, hey, there's parents here, you know, just to let you know. P911 is parent alert. PAW, parents are watching. See, there are things that they can, secret codes, they could do something. If a parent has to be in the room and looks over their shoulder and sees something, then they can use these. And I was pretty happy that the students downstairs didn't seem to know a whole lot of those. So that's good. And I said, because those are something that if you have to put one of those things, then whatever you wrote before it shouldn't have been written. So we need to make a decision. Would I want, you know, we're talking about Peter's principles. Do I want my parents to see this or not? I shouldn't write anything that I don't want my parents to see, and especially that I don't want my God to see. So the next one there, snert, I just made that up. That stands for snot-nosed, egotistical, rude teenager. So I was angry after those first five, and I thought, well, I can make my own little code. So you might not have known what that is, but now you do, and that can be our secret little code when we want to blow off a little steam. The two down is YOLO, and I just wanted to throw that one out because that became an extremely popular one this year. That's the thing it's the curse of being a teacher, is that we know what the trends are. I mean, you can't help it. Even if I don't want to know things, I mean, I try to walk down the halls of school just like this. I can find out anything I want to find out. And the kids say, how do you always know that? Because you tell me. You just tell me. You know, you're telling me all the time, well, we're going to be skipping school next Monday. Well, thanks for telling me. So, you know, I'll put a quiz on that day. So, but anyway, YOLO stands for what? You only live once. That's become really popular this last year. I'm never quite sure where they come from, but it was everywhere. Everybody was saying YOLO. Now, what's the problem with that? And the kids downstairs said they wrote down for that. They didn't write down you only live once. They wrote down a really stupid saying. A lot of them said that. It was really good. They understood the significance of it. What's the significance of saying you only live once?
Anything goes.
You can do whatever you want. There's no repercussions. And apparently they think they're only going to have one life. There's not going to be another one, a more eternal life. So You only have one chance to do and try to do the things that you want to do. And that's just a kind of a prevalent attitude that has really, you know, becoming more and more prevalent. PTL is praise the Lord. So it's, you can put some goodness on that, but I just always have a hard time abbreviating Lord. And it's, you know, it's not shorten and lower the Lord. But that is a somewhat positive one. What's the next one? OMG. Okay, I wrote down, I break God's commandments. That's what I am hearing you say when you send something to me that says OMG on it. And we have a lot of students, we have a lot of people in the church that put OMG on their Facebook status. People that we would think are good, solid, strong Christians. And we see that. Now, if you ask them what that means, that's why I asked them that question, because a lot of people didn't put, oh my God, they put, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. There was varieties. It doesn't matter. They're all varieties. They're varieties of using the Lord's name in vain. That's what they are. Oh my goodness. I was talking with Mike Manning the other day. Is that any better? Oh my goodness. Who's good? I'm good. This is just a variety. It's a way of changing something that we shouldn't be saying. And it's all in the hearer, in the receiver. What's the receiver going to think? Are they going to say, oh, they probably mean, oh my goodness? That you're doing something there that is just a changing, it's just a little bit variety, and it's something that we need to not put. And just a lot of people fall into that trap, I think, of really using the Lord's name in vain. It's what we're doing here when we use that. That's a very popular one there. I'm sure some of you are curious about some of the other ones on here, but we're not going to go over them. I'll put this down here. This is the answer sheet. I'll put it down there. If you're really curious, you can go and look at some of the other ones if you want. I have a hard time using these things, and especially some of them, like you know, what's the one? Probably. That means probably. Just write the word. Just write it out. Just speak. Like an intelligent human being, you know, that's what we're talking about downstairs, and some of these really kind of bother me. But it's fun, you know, it's fun code, you know, it's like a secret language. You know, when we were growing up, a lot of us did those kind of things, a secret language, Pig Latin, or whatever you were doing to you know, it was fun kind of things for some of the kids. So I wasn't really coming down hard on them, but there's certain ones that we need to really avoid. And I didn't put the ones on here that, you know, there's, you know, a lot of times you'll see things with F's and A's and B's and things like that. And you take any one of these and you can put in an F or an A in there, and that changes it to something more. When we're laughing or rolling on the floor laughing, you know, we're doing a lot of other things too that you can put in there with those certain letters. And the kids were very aware of that, and they knew that those some things, because they were going through and filling out, and then they were like, now are any of these like bad, you know, because they didn't really want to write things down, and that was good. That was good. We had a good time with it. So, okay, we were talking about communication technologies, and so we're going to move on. I'm going to talk briefly about Skype. I don't know how many of you know what Skype is. It's pretty neat technology, but it just really hasn't quite taken off like some of the other things, you know. And I think it's just because it's kind of still like you're just really talking to a person. And a lot of times I think we want to just kind of hide behind something, really. We want to send a message out and I wonder what's going to happen. I'm waiting for it to get back. But if you're talking to someone over the computer screen, it's kind of like I'm still talking to you. And so it's, you know, some people are shy and they don't like. So this hasn't really taken off quite as, I thought this would be, whoa, this is something that would really, really, really go. But it hasn't been as much. It came out in 2003. Actually, it came out on the Jetsons. This is what the Skype was on the Jetsons, though, very early on. But then it became more reality and available to us in 2003. The first time I saw it was Harrison Barnes from Iowa State committed to North Carolina with Roy Williams on Skype, on television. We were all on television watching him Skype Roy Williams, and we were all like, oh, what's that? And everybody went out and downloaded Skype right from then. It took a big, huge jump on that day. I was one of them. I went and downloaded the that night and tried to, you know, call my wife in the other room. So, There are values in this. You know, we have some people that we just have a person in our congregation that had to be in Afghanistan for 6 months. 6 months and has children and a wife. Well, you know, he could communicate more than he could ever communicate in that amount of time on Skype. When we had our O'Shea, our four-year-old, it was right during the time of H1N1. So our kids, who were very excited about a new child coming into our family, they weren't the older kids were allowed to go to the hospital no matter what. And when during that time, H1N1, so they could all that whole time, and they couldn't come in and visit Ginger and the baby. So we set up our computers and we Skyped, and every night we just kind of talked, and you know, we hold the baby, you know, and it's really good. It's a good thing. My four-year-old Skypes with his cousin Alexandria Harvey in Illinois, and it's just funny. They just talk on there. It's just really, really neat. But the problem is that 62% of the students downstairs said they have internet access in their bedroom. So you can imagine, then, if you put that with this, you can imagine some of the problems that are going to be, could possibly be happening, especially when we're talking about sexting on cell phones. I mean, how much more worse could this end up being? I haven't heard a whole lot of problems with that as much as I have on the cell phones, which is somewhat strange because it seems like a tool that could take it so much further. But and I don't want to say a whole lot about this, but it's one of the things in our house. You know, my son doesn't find any interest in it whatsoever. My daughter likes it, but she Skypes with people. She Skypes with your kids. She Skypes with generally kids that are partner in the church or attending the Church of Christ. But even that, in that case, you know, our rule is that, you know, this is not going to be happening in the bedroom. So if you're going to be Skyping, that there's an official table for that. It's called a dining room table. You can't even be in the living room. You got to be in the dining room table because that's the center of our house, and we're all going through there, major traffic. That's where you have to be, in a certain chair, right here. This is where it is, and this is where it's going to happen. And so there's a lot of times, and even then, it's still kind of a problem sometimes because Maddie might be Skyping with somebody there, and then she goes off to the bedroom, and I come in and get a glass of milk out of the refrigerator, and all of a sudden, hi, Mark. You know, I'm looking around. There's a head over on the table talking to me. It's like, oh, hi, yeah, how are you? Didn't see you there. You know, and so some really unfortunate things can happen. And with this, I mean, it's a technology that is kind of scary, and you can get yourself into some situations that you don't even really mean to get into. But that's enough on that. Okay, here we go. Are we ready? Like it or don't like it. Facebook. Facebook is a social networking service. We'll talk a little bit about the background. Some of you know a lot about it. Some of you don't know anything about it. And for some of you that don't know anything about it, once I'm done, you'll probably think that the rest of us that like it are bad people. But I'm going to try to show you the goods and the bads of this. But there is a lot of bad, and it's just a matter of how we're going to use it. It's a social networking service that was launched in February of 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg. Some of you know him. He was a student. He was 21 years old. 21 years old. A lot of wisdom there involved. And he was at Harvard. He's a very smart person. Very smart, very intellectual. And he was really good at programming different things. And he tried a whole bunch of different ideas. He had a homework assignment where he was supposed to write this big, huge paper, like a semester project on all these artworks. And he made a website. He put all the artworks on there. And he invited everybody on campus to, you know, comment about these things. And they would come in, and art majors would come in and comment, oh, this is from the Renaissance period, about all these things. They would comment on these photos. Now, this is similar, right, to Facebook. You know, these were somehow the ideas kind of got started. And he just had a program where he took all those comments, shoot, right out into a paper, handed it in, A+. He's very smart and how to get around different things. So that was one of the first ideas that started to come kind of into his mind. Later on, he worked on another one called FaceMash. That was the first kind of program before he really got going into this. FaceMash was one where it would take all the pictures from, you know, the Facebook comes from, and it depends on how long ago you went to college, but colleges would have faith books, which basically was, most times it was a hard cover book that would have all the kids in the university in there and their likes and their dislikes and just, you know, so you could kind of look up people and get to know them and stuff like that. That's how, where this came. And so originally when he came with this program, it was called The Facebook. And people said, just take off the and make it Facebook. It sounds better. But anyway, he had a program called Face Mash. And what he did with that is he took all the girls at Harvard and later on Stanford and then it spread around. And he would have just randomly two girls' pictures come up. And you were supposed to judge which one of those was the hottest. Which for you, that means the most attractive. I can say that down to the kids. So you just vote. And the next two would come up and you'd vote. Next two would come up and you'd vote. That's all you did. The whole thing. Very popular. Everybody was on it all the time. And all the girls were trying to figure out, how can I get a different picture on there so that I can be at a higher ranking? And here's the top 10 hottest girls. And this, so this was his first program called Face Mash. You know, you had to like. So, you know, it starts to make you feel bad. I mean, I like Facebook. I don't use it probably nearly as much as most of you do. I've never been... If certain pieces of technology really kind of, yeah, now that's very valuable, but certain things are just, I check it every once in a while, but I'm not a huge fan. I just every once in a while I try to throw on something, you know, and see what happens. But you know, when we see how where all this came from, it starts to make us feel a little bit bad about using it. But I can guarantee you that some of you are using Facebook for really good things. Really good things and good encouragement. We can use it for our church pages. We have a church website, but we have an offspring, a church Facebook, which all the announcements and things get put on. Some of you check that. And so it can be used for some good things, but it didn't have a great start. In fact, the thing that bothers me even today is that when you go and you put a post on your wall, you know, it's called the status. You know, they haven't even changed that. I mean, originally that was, you know, what is your status? Are you available now? You know, are you divorced? Have you broken up with this person? Are you now single and available? What is your status? That's what you're supposed to be posting all the time. And it's bothersome to me that that has never been changed. You know, I just change it to post or message or something, but it's still status. Is, you know, I checked out your status the other day. I always hate when people say that. I was like, oh, well, yeah, I'm married, so... But I did post something on there. So the way Facebook, you know, people sometimes are confused. You know, Facebook, you know, just went public. You know, it's like, well, what does Facebook have to offer? How can it be a public company? What does it have to offer? Well, if you think about it for a little while, you'll start understanding. With advertising, you know, what do you do in your profile? You can put almost anything you want in your profile. I can say I like the Cardinals. I can put the Cardinals in there and the Cardinals emblem will show up in my profile. I have my age in there. I have my gender in there. Those things I have to put in there. Those are the only things I'm really kind of forced to put in at the beginning. I don't have to give them any other information. Any other information I'm giving them is because Mark Zuckerberg asked you for the information and you're giving it to him. It's exactly that art project. Any photos and stuff you're putting on there, he's asking. This was his concept that he stumbled upon. He realized, if I just ask people, they'll give it to me. They'll just give it. They'll just put it on here. And that's what Facebook really is. We give them a whole bunch of information, and they can use that information to target you really, really specifically. So if I want to sell a beer mug that has the Cardinals emblem on it, I can say, okay, generally I'm going to get 18 to age 50. I want males. I want people that have liked the Cardinals. Anyone that's went to the Anheuser-Busch page and liked it, I want them on there too. And Facebook can whittle it down right to there and put that right there on your page. And even if 1% of the people that they hit that with click on it or buy it, they've made a whole lot of money. A lot of money. Because almost everybody, almost 1 in 8 people in the world are on Facebook. This is how it works. So that you're giving them information and they're putting it in. They're trying to get whittled down right to you. You might not get that on there because you might say that you like the Church of Christ or something, because you can do that. And so they might say, well, we're not going to waste our advertisement on some people that are religious because they might not probably want this. So they'll really hone things down right to you. And if you like the Church of Christ, sometimes you might see other advertisements, but they're Bibles or whatever things, or, you know, scriptural works that aren't all that scriptural. They could be on your your page. If you have some things that are on your page that aren't very good at all, then you got to be careful on what you've liked in the past. Maybe we've had some issues and we went some places where we didn't go, and so somehow we have some advertisements on there that we probably shouldn't have on there. I'm going to just run through some Facebook stats real quick. As of May 2012, there were 900 million users on Facebook, approximately 1 out of 8 people in the world. I went through that this morning. I thought, well, I put that on there back, you know, it was May. So I thought, just out of curiosity, you know, I mean, I knew the new quarter results kind of came out, so I looked it up this morning. July 2012, the end of July, we are at 955 million. That's how fast we're going up. You know, I guess I was kind of surprised it jumped that high, but I looked this morning, and at the end of 2012, the new stats came out, 955 million users. 7.5 million children under 13 have a Facebook account. 5 million of those are under 10. Now, what's the problem with that? Not even technically legal. It's against the policy. You're not supposed to have an account if you're under 13. You know, and don't friend someone that's under 13 that's in the church that has an account. That's not right. Now, a lot of people, I've had arguments about this where people are like, yes, but I'm really the one that's there. That's really my account. I'm monitoring. I'm kind of doing that. You know, I mean, there's a policy there. Let's stick to that policy. And later on, then you can make a judgment. But I mean, there is a policy there for 13. That's a man's policy. But it's probably good enough to stick with until after they're 13. Then you still make the decision. You know, and our kids are different. You know, and I don't think Maddie minds me telling you this, but my son's 18. He has a Facebook. He's had a Facebook for a while. He doesn't use it very much. He makes artwork and he puts artwork on it generally. My daughter is 17. She still doesn't have a Facebook account. I won't let her have one. And she, you know, she could go get one by herself. She could do that. She knows how to do that. I mean, as far as I know, she hasn't. So there, and I just feel that it's there's some dangers there, and I don't want to go into the differences in my children, but there are differences in my children. Do you have differences in your children? Do you have to handle them a little bit differently than sometimes you do? And if you tell them that in love and say, you know, here's a really good quality you have, and I wish this one had it, but you know what? You have a really good quality here, and you could work on that. You know, and if you say that in love, I think that they can understand some of those things. But we need to make decisions on age appropriateness, and age appropriateness has a lot more to do with mental age than it does to do with their physical age. Emotional age, really. How are they emotionally equipped to handle certain things, and could they get themselves into trouble on this? 93% of adult U.S. internet users are on Facebook. One out of every eight minutes online is spent on Facebook. The average Facebook user spends more than 11 hours per month on Facebook. 11 hours per month. You know, start now and, you know, just go ahead and get your 11 hours done and then try to wait a month before you get back on. This is a weird stat. I kept trying to figure out exactly how they knew this or what they did. And I thought I'd just throw it up there anyway, but somehow they can figure out data. It's weird. So they said 57% of people talk to people more online than they do in real life. I'm not exactly sure how they figured that out, but, you know, as I started thinking about it, you know, it might be low, almost. It could be maybe even higher than that. The amount of words that you might spend or how much you talk to different people. You know, you can go home tonight and you can talk to 50 different people, right? You put a post on there and that goes out to however many friends you have, right? So you just talk to 800 and some people with one post. So you can talk to a lot more people in on Facebook than you can in real life, just even physically. This one is real bothersome. Mark Keenan, Managing Director of Divorce Online, there's another technology that has some problems, right? Divorce Online, said that 20% of all the petitions, the divorce petitions that came to Divorce Online, contained references to Facebook. 1 in 5 of the divorce petitions that he received, there's something involved with Facebook that's causing that particular divorce. And that is a real problem. Facebook has been the cause of a lot of destructions in marriage. Facebook's theme is to reestablish old relationships. Now, that's a problem right there. You know, I talked to you the other day about how I'd never want to go back to college. I went through high school and I was a pretty good boy. I mean, I really was. I'm not just bragging about it. I was actually unanimously voted by my fellow peers and all of my teachers unanimously to make a TV commercial about not drinking and driving. Because they knew without a doubt that they wouldn't look like hypocrites if they put me out there because I was preaching nonstop in the school about you shouldn't be doing this, drinking's terrible, all these things. I went to college, I was 2 hours away from my parents. I had 2 years of a life that wasn't good. We get into a situation where we think, you know, I wonder what this is like. And there's no one around that's going to hold me accountable. And I'm going to forget about God that could be watching me. And I found that throughout those 2 years were the worst years of my life when I look back at it, my freshman and sophomore years in college. There wasn't anything fulfilling about those 2 years. And I was lucky that after the third year, my wife came to Iowa. Why'd she come to Iowa? Why'd she go to the University of Iowa? Because I was there. She was chasing me. Well, you know what? With someone else that actually has the same belief system, boy, you can really be strong. Even if everybody else is against you. And so that I had 2 years, but then after that, I've been pretty good again. Not great, but I've been pretty good since then. You know, we have these, you know, we get away and we think that we're just immune to these things and we go away to college. It's really the time that we need the most help. I mean, it's the time that we are the most vulnerable, it seems like. And we send them off. You know, good luck. You know, I'm sending you out there. I mean, it's, you know, my son's going away to college in this next. No, he's going to go 10 minutes away, and he's coming home on the weekend, and he's 2 blocks away from where my wife's working. we're really on top of this, but still, I'm scared. I'm scared for him, and we need to make sure that we're training them in the right way, so that even if they have a really bad 2 years, you know, that training never left me, and I was forced to come home 2 hours every Sunday morning to the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ, to commune with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And a lot of times I was in that communion and I was feeling guilty about things. And I got sick of it, feeling guilty. And so these are the things and how we train and how our children can come back and we can raise them to be righteous offspring. It's not a make-believe world where you can just do anything you want. There's no consequences. You know, I had several years back, and I'm thankful to God on how it turned out, but there were some people in my congregation, and I was on Facebook one day, and I was reading things they said, and it was like, again, the finger in the chili. It was, what? Why'd they say that? I can't hardly believe it. Next Sunday, I went to them, and I got all three of them, and I took them all back. It just happened to be the three all at the same time, unrelated and everything, and we all went back to a certain room, and I was emotional. I get emotional sometimes. And I just said, you know, look at what you wrote. That's all I had to say. And that's really good. That's all I had to say. They couldn't even read it. They became emotional. I wrote that? And I don't know if it was in the setting. I mean, sometimes we put a lot on our buildings. But, you know, if you're reading something you wrote on Facebook in the privacy of your bedroom, and you go to the church building, which you've been in your whole life for 100 years, it makes you want to vomit, seriously, to see what you might have done. And especially if you're there with a brother in Christ that loves you, or somebody, you know, your grandparents or whatever, you know, why do we think that we can do some of these things? We think that no one's watching us. But it's not a fake world. It is the world. It's just something that we're doing. Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. The Lord knows everything that you're doing. And with Facebook, we can all know. Facebook is so enlightening about what's happening with people in the church. And we need to be very careful with what we're posting on there the messages that we're sending to others. There is such a thing, apparently, called Facebook addiction disorder. The acronym is FAD. And I don't know how much of a fad Facebook, it's a long-lasting fad. I don't know how much longer it's going to, I'm sure that there's probably going to be something new in the future that's going to probably replace it. It's always kind of the way it is. But we need to know, are we letting this control us? Peter's principle number 3, are we letting this control us? Are we on here all the time? I just got to go check and see what someone said. I put something on there, now I just can't wait to see if people are going to like it or they're going to respond to it. I have some suggestions for Facebook, and my wife told me that, you know, some people aren't going to like these suggestions. I'm like, that's fine. There's no dislike button, so. And these are just some suggestions that I have tried to put on myself, and some of them, you'll think, well, I don't quite want to go all that way, and that is fine. You need to, you know, you're going before God yourself. I'm going by myself. We need to make our own decisions. These are just some common things. This first one is non-negotiable. There are certain ones I'm going to put up here that I think are non-negotiable. You don't go public. You can make your account private. You can make it public. Public means that everybody out there in the entire world can see anything and know anything about you whatsoever. Private is just we have friends, right? People, you have a friend request and you say, yes, I accept friendship with you. And it's really kind of bizarre still when I even say the words. But then only your friends can see those kinds of things. Turn off email notifications. And this is the one that my wife said would bother some of you, and I haven't been able to convince my wife to come, to whittle it down as much as I have. And I haven't either. I don't turn off all email notifications. But what happens is, you have your email in there, and you get notifications in your email, and you can get notifications for like anything. So if someone posts a picture of you, then you can get an email for that. If you make a status, you can get an email for that. If everything, you can get an email for. You can go in your settings and you can really refine that on, okay, I only want an email notification if just this. Okay? And I'm gonna show you here in a little bit how you can go find that. And then you'll be able to go tonight and there's going to be a couple things where you can go and you can test to see how much it really is controlling you. And some of you are going to be really disappointed when you see there's all the email things I get emailed and notified for. The thing I don't like about this, and I really have most of this turned off, except for a certain, I have two notifications. One is like events, so like Emily's page, so that if she was going to make a post on there about the high school class, I would have that email me so I would know that I need to go check Facebook. But the problem with this is what? You just get out of Facebook, and what happens? Your email pops in, and it just sucks you right back in. And you know this. I know you do. This is what it does, doesn't it? It's like, ooh, I got something. I'll go to Facebook, and it just takes me back in. That's why it's on them. That's why they did this. They set it up this way. Let's get them back in. And we need to not let that control us as much as we do. I think a lot of us have probably way more email notifications set up than probably what we need to, but I'm going to make you let you be the judge of that. In your profile, don't select men or women as your interest. In fact, don't fill out your profile. You can leave a lot of stuff off of your profile. My profile is just pretty much bare bones. It's just, I'm a male. There's an email address and my birthday. That's about it. The things I have to put in there. I have a couple other snarky comments in various places if you want to read them, but they don't really tell me a whole lot of information about me. But there's a place in there that says, select your interest, men or women. I'm not sure if you can select both. I think you can check both boxes if you want. But you don't have to fill that out. Leave and then it won't show up. So leave it blank. It just kind of bothersome every once in a while. I go around and I look at some people's profiles, and it says it's someone in the church. They're happily married, and it says their interest is women. Now, they didn't mean that. They meant well, my interest isn't men. I'm interested in women. That's what they're meaning. But that doesn't look right, does it? As a happily married man that's interested in women. So just leave that blank. Check that tonight. Do you have that checked? Uncheck it if you have something like that on there. Keep a low profile. Put very little information in your profile. I'm going to show you in a very visible way here in a little bit why that might be a good idea. Share an account with your spouse or at least your login information. I said this last time in Excelsior Spring, and I know a lot of you are probably going to call me a hypocrite because I said that me and Ginger were going to merge our accounts. And since then, a lot of people that have joined Facebook there's people, this person and this person account, joint account. I really like that. You know, it's a picture of both of them and stuff. And what we want, Ginger and I wanted to do is merge our accounts. Because we have so many things on each of our accounts, we want to merge them. Well, Facebook does not want you to do that. They're never going to let us do that. And so we haven't actually merged our accounts. However, we both know each other's login information. Every once in a while, we get on and actually make a post on behalf of the other person just for fun. I'm usually pretty nice about it, but she posted one time on my account with my picture about a time she was pregnant, and she thought that was pretty funny. But so it just didn't look right there. It's like back when I was pregnant. No, I wasn't pregnant. So, but we do know, and we can check each other's and I just leave mine on. That's the problem. Sometimes she's posting on mine, doesn't even realize she's posting on mine because it's just up there open for her. Yeah.
Could you comment on don't go public? What is it that we don't want public about ourselves? Putting good things on that.
Yeah. I'm going to be commenting on it. Can I keep? Okay. I'm gonna comment on that in a way that's going, I think, to be shocking to a lot of people. So, if we get to that. So, beware of apps. This is a new one, and this is getting a lot of you. I mean, I could mention a lot of names in the church where this is getting, because you don't even realize what you're doing. Apps are things where, you know, you could like something, or even you want to read an article on Yahoo or whatever, and you go read it. A lot of times what's happening, it's coming up there, and it'll say, you know, do you want to read this article? And you're clicking yes, but you didn't read all the other thing. That this app will post to your account on your wall what you just read. And not only that, I mean, and so, you know, if you're reading something you shouldn't be reading, that's going to show up on your account. But even if you're reading something that's interesting or research or whatever, it's still going to post just a smidgen, a paragraph of the article, and it could put a picture on there too. You don't know what that picture is going to be. I mean, it could be a picture that's technically related to the article maybe, but it could be an inappropriate picture. And it's posting on there like you just put that out there on your Facebook. And Farmville and all these other things, these are all called apps, and they all post on your account because that's defaulted that way, and very few of you are going and saying, you know, just don't let it post on my behalf. So we are seeing a lot of these different things, and because it's posting on you, there's always a drop down there where you can say, I want to read this article, I don't want it to post on my behalf. But I mean, if it's an article you shouldn't be reading, then you shouldn't be reading. Anyway, and we're going to look a little bit more into that and show you how to try to turn those off also. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. This is tricky. This is kind of tricky. I mean, what kind of friends, you know, do you want? Do you still want your friends that you had in college that knew you in a certain way? You know, or do you want to have friends that are in the church? Are all the people that are in the church on Facebook, are they all your friends? Or do you go to church with people that you will not be friends with on Facebook? You know, there's some issues here that can be brought into the church. What about, will you not be friends with your elders? Are your elders on Facebook and you're not going to be friends with them? How do they watch over you? There's another way where they can watch over you. And so it's a good idea. You know, I want to be held accountable. So I'm going to be friends with my elders if they have Facebook. Now, I'm not saying the elders have, you know, it's not in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 that you need to have a Facebook account to keep watch over them. We're not going there, but you know, it might be nice if someone, you know, that there's people that are watching. It's one of the primary reasons I got a Facebook account. I want to be able to at least, you know, be able to discuss with my brothers and sisters of Christ and be able to encourage them and help them if there's something I see that might not quite, doesn't seem like it aligns with the measuring device. What do we do if there's someone that falls away and eventually the church withdraws from them? And you're friends with them on Facebook. What do you do? I mean, this has real implications, doesn't it? There needs to be a change in the relationship. You know, that a lot of people say that, well, that policy of God doesn't work. That policy will work. Why doesn't it work? It doesn't work because we don't do the action. It's supposed to make it work. There's nothing that God gives us that doesn't work. It's just that we have a hard time putting that into action because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And a lot of times they're family members. And how do you do this? And we don't want to completely shun them because if we're shunning them, how do we encourage them to come back? You know, we've had these discussions all over and over and over again at nauseam. But I'm not sure I can remain friends with that person because now what do we have? We have a world that there is no repercussions. There's no bad feelings at all if I leave the church. There needs to be some, you know, I don't have as many friends. I don't have the encouragement that I had when I was in the Lord. There needs to be a reason that they want to come back. Well, if I were all just going to be completely be friends with them forever, they didn't lose anything. They didn't lose anything. So it's a discussion that maybe we could take further later on some other time. But this is, you know, there's real repercussions here on how these things can affect the church. And we probably should talk about that more later. 1 Peter 1:15, just a reminder of Peter's principle number 2. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. This is the way we use Facebook. Make an effort to post spiritual things. Let's do this in all manner of conversation. Pure conversation. Let's make an effort. When I put on a status or some kind of a post, what am I saying here? Is this going to encourage the brother in some way? Or is this going to not make me look like I'm trying to become holy? What am I doing when I make this particular post? If you look in the handout, the handout I gave you there, if you look at the first two pages, I'm going to go over this real quick. And I was just going to do it up on slides, and then Ginger said no one's going to remember how to do this when they get home, so she made me put it on the paper. But if you go to your account, and there's a little arrow there, and you click on that, you can go down to, there's two different things. There's account settings and privacy settings. And you can try this tonight, and you can go ahead and give those to as many people as need them. So. Privacy settings and account settings. And the first one that we're going to click on here, I think, would be account settings. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to click on account. If you click on account settings, it's going to take you to a little thing that looks like this. And then under here, there's two things that I want. There's explore these things. You know what you're getting into. Really explore around and see what you can do. But there's two things I definitely want people to look at tonight if you can. Notifications and then the thing on apps there. So we're going to click on notifications right now, and that's going to take you to this thing down here on the bottom left. And then we're going to pretend like we went back and clicked on applications, and that's going to take us thing to the bottom right. Everybody follow that? So you can take this with you and maybe figure it out. So if I click on notifications, it's going to bring up a screen like this, and it's going to talk about how many notifications you have. There's going to be little envelopes, and there's going to be numbers next to them, how many notifications you have in that particular thing. So I don't have very many anymore. I just got tired of being bombarded with them. But that's a place for you to go. I mean, you can click edit over on the side, and you can go and edit. You know, okay, I don't need a Facebook message every single time this happens or whatever. And, you know, does anybody know how many notifications you have? Does anybody know your number? You know, go and look. See what it is. And you can apply Peter's Principle 3, you know, and look at that page and say, does that page say that this is controlling me or not? You know, can I whittle those down a little bit and maybe not get drawn back in as much as I've been getting drawn in? So if we go back and then we click on applications, we're going to get this screen here. This is going to show you all the applications that you have on here. If you look at some of those, you might realize that you probably have some applications. How many people think they know how many applications they have on their account? Okay, a couple people. I'm going to guess that most of you have at least 10. At least. Now, you can come in. That'll be interesting. I wanted to throw out a number because I wanted to see how many people would come back and tell me I was wrong, that you had 25.
Zero.
Okay? So, you know, or if you have zero. So, just these are just some simple ones and stuff. And it's not that they're all bad. I mean, they're, you know, birthday cards and all these kinds of things. There can be some really good things. But you can see on here your list of how many you have. And you can edit them or you can delete them off and get rid of them if you want to. We're going to talk a little bit more about what those apps do here in a second. If you edit the apps, if you click the edit button, then you're going to get this. You're going to edit a certain app, so I'm editing this greeting card app here, and then you can see what it wants. It says that by accepting this app, it's very important, by accepting this app needs your email address, your photos, your friend's profile information, all of your profile information from your friends. It can go get that. And you have a setting in here somewhere where you can say, I don't want people to be able to pull my stuff into their applications. And you can go do that too. Friend profile information, descriptions, activities, birthdays, education, basically everything. Photos shared about you. So if you put a photo on about me and tag me in it, it can pull that in too. Almost all apps do almost all of that. They pull all that information and they can use that. This app can also, this particular app can post on your behalf. So she had it set up that it can post on her behalf. It can just put a post right on there for her, whether she knows it or not. Notifications, they can notify you. Down here, post on your behalf is where you can decide, should I let everyone see this, or just my friends, or whatever. The next part is, if we went all the way back and we clicked on the privacy settings now, all the way back to the main thing, we clicked on privacy settings, and this one will come up, and there's a lot of things you probably should look through on here. Ads, apps, and websites, that's an important one to probably go edit. I believe that's where you can go and say, I don't want people being able to pull all my information in when they decide to use an app. One of my friends decides to use an app. I don't want them to be able to pull all that information in. This is where it is, I think. So if you clicked on that, ads, apps, and websites, and this is what it comes up to. And how people bring your info to apps that they use. That's where you can edit that. Instant personalization is a new thing that's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Facebook teams up with certain websites and you don't even know who they are. But if you go to that website, it automatically pulls your Facebook stuff. And you don't even allow it. It just does. Because Facebook has teamed up with certain websites. Not very many yet, but it's growing every single day. And what that does is it instantly personalizes that website for you. And you're going to find out, how do they know this? You're going to go to a website and you're going to see everything that you like. And things that, your name, welcome to the website, Mark Herman. And you're going to be like, who's in this box? It's going to be very strange. It's called instant personalization. And you can turn that off. You can say, no, I don't want them doing that to me. I'm going to go to a website and make my own decisions. This is very confusing on how to get around. It is confusing how to get around Facebook. They don't make this very easy. I don't think they want you to change it very often. There is a website, this is another one. This is normally how you kind of fall into this trap. You'll go out there and you'll try to find something that you want to download or whatever, and there'll be something that comes up like this, that you can log in with Facebook, and if you do, a lot of times you're accepting that particular app and letting them bring in all your stuff. There is a website called mypermissions.org, and it makes it a little bit easy. I don't know if anybody's ever used this, but you can go, because you might have other things besides Facebook, different kind of social networking things. You can go there, and that's a one place where you can just go and you can click Facebook permissions, and it'll show you everything that you're allowing. It makes it a nice interface because they know that it's confusing and all these things. So if you go there, you can just set up an account and you can just click on one thing and you can see all your Facebook settings and be able to change them all from there. And it does make it a lot easier than trying to go around on Facebook and try to find some of these things. There's, and I'm not going to read this, but I'll read a little bit of it. You're supposed to read the terms when you sign up for something, and we don't. None of us do. But Facebook terms are a really interesting thing that you might want to read, and it's very interesting because here's the first line. Okay, here's the first line. And this is the only line that most people read because after that the print gets really small. Okay? So the first line says, this is a Facebook terms policy, terms and policy use, I think that's what it's called, data use policy. First line, you own all the content and information you post on Facebook. And you can control how it is shared through your privacy and application settings. That's reassuring. That's good. That makes me feel good. And then you start reading. And number one, For content that is covered by intellectual property rights like photos and videos, IP content, you specifically give us the following permission, subject to your privacy and application settings. You grant us a non-exclusive, transferable, sub-licensable, royalty-free, worldwide license to use any IP content that you post on or in connection with Facebook. This IP license ends when you delete your IP content or your account unless your content has been shared with others and they have not deleted it. So they say, hey, it's all yours. We can use it for whatever we want to use it for. It's rather scary. And if I went down through here, there's a whole data use policy. I'm not going to read this now, but I'm going to run out of time. But it's, you know, it says, we can use this, we can use this, we can know where you are. You put in your address, we can do GPS. All the data that they are allowed to use, and when you get up a Facebook account, you have agreed to do that. You know, we're not going to the store and buying a diary and just writing it in our own private diary. You're going and signing up for a diary, and you're putting it all into Mark Zuckerberg's diary. He's asked you for information, and we're going to give it to him. We're going to give it to him. And it's out there, and technically it can be used. Generally, it's just used to focus in on to bombarding you with advertisements that maybe you just only will buy. It's a very slick advertising kind of a thing. But this is what we're doing. We're giving them information, and there's a lot of ways that they can use it. Now, they say, you know, that we can go into our application settings and kind of really make some decisions on how much they can use, but you know, the information's there. You know, you do something online, it's there. It's always there. You can try to delete it, it's still going to be there. This is going to be disturbing, okay? So, I mean, it's not overly, I mean, don't worry about the kids. But, well, I hope not. But anyway, there is an app called TakeThisLollipop.com. Anybody heard of this? Okay. We use this. We actually use this as a teaching tool in the schools. And I just told you that I don't have any apps. I don't like to use the apps. And it just makes me nervous. And I just think that it probably annoys Mark Zuckerberg that I'm not giving him any of my information. And I just kind of like that. So anyway, this particular app I use every once in a while. I'll go and I'll get on the app. And then after I'm done with it, I'll delete the app back off. But this is called TakeThisLollipop.com. And what it was created for was to show you what you're really doing when you say you're going to accept an app and you're going to allow it to have your information. And what could be actually done with that. Now here's the problem, is because there's a lot of apps out there that are really good that you're using. Really good apps. But what's going to happen? Because when you click on an app and you're allowing it to get bring in your information, what are some people going to do that are think evil? They're going to try to create an app that they can get you to click on that gives them your information, right? And you're supposed to report those to Facebook as soon as you see one, or if you can even tell that it is. But there's a lot of them that are out there. And so you need to, when you see these apps, there's a lot of things about actually how many people are really using it. You know, I mean, if there's like 2 million people using it, then it's probably, you know, they can't be wrong, right? I mean, it must not be a virus or something that's going to ruin your computer kind of a thing. But this app shows you what technically could be done with the information. Now, keep in mind, I have a very low profile. I have hardly anything in my Facebook. I think I've uploaded one picture ever with me and my kids building a ginormous snowman. I think that's the only picture that I probably ever uploaded myself. Okay, so I click on this app and it says, okay, I need access to your Facebook account for your information. Just like, it's just basic information, like, and most apps even want even more. And so I did that, and then it makes this video. I didn't make this video. I didn't choose the pictures in this video. I didn't put the videos into certain places. I didn't do anything to make this video. I just let it generate. I did it 3 times because I had a hard time video capturing the video so that I could show you. And it was different every time. Every single time the video scared me even worse. Okay? And we do this at school with our kids. We have our kids say, okay, you know, do this, and then we're going to delete it off later, and we're going to make a video, and the kids are shocked. And it really shows how much they have out there. Okay? Now, I hardly have anything out there. And you're going to see what somebody could possibly be thinking or be doing. try this out. Sorry. I gave it access, it loaded for a while, and then it produced this. In like 10 seconds, it produced this. Some of you have your address in there. And from what I remember, the first time I did this was several years ago. It would put it in Google Maps. And on the dashboard, and some of you want to try this and see if it works, that's the way I remembered it. There was a picture of my house right on his dashboard. He got my address, he can put it in Google Maps, he can see my house online and know where to find me. You know, that one picture up there that I put on. I didn't put one picture. You put those pictures up there. Some of you put those pictures up there. You know, you put them online, and again, it takes them from your profiles and your Facebooks, and it puts it on there. And my children, who are on there, can't even have a Facebook account. But when a person puts a picture of my child on there, they can tag me as them. So then someone knows that that's my kid. That particular kid is mine. That was disturbing, I thought. I did feel a little bit good because I think there was like 5 different Churches of Christ in there, by the way, in those pictures, randomly. Brookfield and Sheraton, I think, was in there. And there were some other people. There's people in there you recognize, I think, almost in every picture. It's people you recognize in there. And that last picture, when you're looking at my wife and my little child, that's bothersome to me. It's very bothersome to me. And this is what we do. We're allowing these things to be used and to be put out there. And not everything's going to be like that, and there's not going to be people that... But who knows what's it's happened. It has happened. Some people that want a child, and they're reading all these things they've got in, they're reading all these things about that you're about ready to have a baby. And they know exactly what the time that you're going to have the baby. They've seen in the conversations. And go try to attempt to steal that baby. These things have literally happened in the news that you've heard about some of these things. So, you know, I know people are probably thinking, oh, my Facebook account's gone. But there's some really good things that we can use it for. But we need to be really careful on what we put information on there. See, it's, you know, take this lollipop. You notice what was in the lollipop, right? There's a razor blade in there. And now it's red. It has my name on it. And what you can't see under here is it says, up next, Dawn Micus. Some of you know Dawn. Already has her married name on there.
Every time you do the video, it picks someone, one of your friends, and it says, they're next on there. And every time I did it, it was a different person. Every time I did it, it was also a woman. I'm wondering if it is always that way on this particular video. That's like the fourth time I've watched it, and I can't hardly stand to watch it every time. Every time it makes me a little bit sick. But these are some of the things that we're allowing some of these things to be brought in. Last, I'm going to do one more real quick. Twitter. Some of you have heard about Twitter. I'm not going to say a lot about it. The definition of Twitter is a short burst of inconsequential information. That's why they actually put it out there. And it's becoming incredibly popular. It's an online social networking service that enables its users to send and read text-based posts up to 140 characters, known as tweets. It was created in July 2006 by Jack Dorsey. The service rapidly gained worldwide popularity with over 500 million active users as of 2012, generating over 340 million tweets per day. You know, we've always had things that are replaced. You know, email kind of replaced mail, blogs replaced newspapers, text replaced phone. What does Twitter replace? I was trying to think, what did Twitter replace? Because I'll tell you right now, a lot of the kids are dropping Facebook. You guys are on Facebook now, so it's not cool anymore. All the kids are leaving Facebook, all my students at least, are leaving Facebook by droves. They're all Twitter, following every single thought that you have every single minute. Boop, boop, boop. I'm following all these people, and it's just coming through nonstop. To me, I think it replaced the game we used to play, like ES, you know, what am I thinking? You ever play that game, you're like, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? Well, we replaced something that didn't really even exist. This is what Twitter does. What am I thinking? I know exactly what you're thinking every single second, because I'm following. You're just nonstop giving me inconsequential information and just bombarding me with it all the time. That's going to be the end of our communication technologies. Tomorrow we will talk about broken cistern technologies, and you'll feel way more uncomfortable than you do today.